The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck program. There is a lot to talk about today with the revelations coming out of the Washington Post. I want to hear from you. I want to go over what was in the Washington Post, and then next hour, I'm going to break it down for you, and I'm going to show you what's really going on. And if you happen to have a Blaze subscription, make sure you watch it, because I've got three chalkboards that you need to understand today, and we need to go over. So this whole day may really kind of concentrate around what the Washington Post said in their article about what happened in a stupid meeting that should have never happened in the first place with the Russian ambassador and foreign minister. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Everyone in the White House, everyone, you know, who has a brain said last week, just for appearances, the President of the United States should not fire Comey because of what is suspected, because of the Russian interference and the Russian investigation, which on Tuesday he said, I didn't. I fired them because of these recommendations. We find out later that that's not true. He wasn't following the president on what he believed about these Russian investigations. The next day after firing him, he has a meeting with the Russian ambassador and foreign minister. And everyone, for political reasons, said, that's insane. Don't do that. Well, he did. And now the White House has shot itself in the foot yet again. And this time there is going to be proof one way or the other. I don't believe this one ends without subpoenas and hearings. Let me give you, in case you don't know, it's important that we start with the facts of what was said yesterday by the Washington Post. Now, I just lost the Washington Post article. Hang on, just give me a second. I'm going to find this real quick, Stu. Give me, there's a lot to talk about on this. Here yeah. It is. Washington, why can I not get to the Washington Post? Go ahead.
Glenn's taking a BuzzFeed quiz on what kind of tree is he. It looks like he's going to be a spruce, but we have not gotten to the end of it yet, so.
Here it is. Washington Post. I didn't want to get to any stories that are not the first source. Let's get to the original source and the original story. So this is from the Washington Post. Trump revealed highly classified information to Russia foreign minister and ambassador. This story is by Greg Miller and Greg Jaffe. Somebody needs to look those two up while we're reading this and tell me who these guys are. First, President Trump revealed highly classified information to the Russian foreign minister and ambassador in a White House meeting last week, according to current and former U.S. officials who said Trump's disclosures jeopardized a critical source of intelligence on the Islamic State. I'm going to give you the other side of the story after we get through the Washington Post. The information the president relayed had been provided by a U.S. partner through an intelligence sharing agreement considered so sensitive that the details have been withheld from allies and tightly restricted even within the U.S. government. So you know, this information, there is a group of allies, they're called Five Eyes, And the Five Eyes are New Zealand, Australia, England, the UK, and the United States. Those are the Five Eyes. And this was so restricted that even the Five Eyes were not allowed to see it. Okay? The partner had not given the United States permission to share the material with Russia. And officials say Trump's decision to do so endangers cooperation from that ally that has access to the inner workings of the Islamic State. Now, so you know, guys like me don't usually infiltrate the Islamic State. I know that's hard to believe. It's like we have a hard time infiltrating North Korea because guys like me kind of stick out. So we have a very difficult time getting information, credible information, inside of North Korea. We have an even harder time getting it inside the Islamic State. Now imagine, this is World War II. You have somebody in the chancellery giving us information about what the Führer's plans are. Imagine if Russia was told, when we didn't want Joe Stalin to know, and there was lots of this that happened, and we told, yeah, we know what the Führer is going to do, because we've got a guy in the chancellery. A, you don't tell Joe Stalin everything. B, you certainly don't tell Joe Stalin the stuff that you haven't told the UK, that you didn't tell Australia or New Zealand. And you certainly don't say that when the guy in the chancellery is risking his life. And now what's going to happen? The Führer is going to turn around and say, I want everybody checked in the chancellery. I want everybody checked. Do you think the German underground would trust FDR if he did that? This is what just happened, allegedly. White House said that Trump's decision endangers cooperation from the ally. Trump's meeting, senior White House officials, after the meeting, took steps to contain the damage, placing calls to the CIA and National Security Agency. This is code word information, which means, remember when we were going through the what is classified with Hillary Clinton and stuff that you couldn't take out of the SCIF? This is the highest level information. This is what's called keyhole or code word information. Keyhole means we've got somebody on the ground that is risking their life to get this information. We're peering through the keyhole. Nobody's allowed to see this. You have to have the highest clearance, and you have to be read into the program. So some of this is higher level than I believe some of the stuff that Hillary Clinton was exposing. She may have had one or two pieces of this kind of information, but it is highest level. This is code word information, said a U.S. familiar with the matter, using terminology that refers to the highest classification levels used by American spy agencies. Trump revealed more information to the Russian ambassador than we have shared with our own allies. The revelation comes as the president faces rising legal and political pressure on multiple Russia-related fronts. Last week, he fired Director James Comey in the midst of a bureau investigation into possible links between the Trump campaign and Moscow. By the way, if you're listening to me, you'll never be able to guess my position. You think you know my position one way or another? I don't think you'll ever be able to guess my position. And I will tell you my position at the top of next hour. For anybody who's listening going, oh, there goes Beck again.
You're just reading the report currently.
Or for those who are listening going, get him, you have no idea what my position is. And I believe you will believe my position is exactly right.
This is how you get spruce in that quiz.
That's right. Thank you. Trump's subsequent admission that his decision was driven by this Russian thing on Comey was seen by critics as attempted obstruction of justice. One day after dismissing Comey, Trump welcomed Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov and Ambassador Sergey Kislyak, a key figure in early Russian controversies, into the Oval Office. Why? Why would you? Anyway, quoting from the Washington Post, it was during that meeting, officials said, that Trump went off script and began describing details of the Islamic State terrorist threat related to the use of laptop computers on aircraft. For almost anyone in the government, discussing such matters with an adversary would be illegal. But as president, Trump has a broad authority to declassify government secrets, making it unlikely that his disclosures broke the law. That's important. No one is claiming that he broke the law, not even this article. White House officials involved in the meeting said Trump discussed only shared concerns about terrorism. Quote, the president and foreign minister reviewed common threats from the terrorist organizations to include threats to aviation, said H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor who participated in the meeting. At no time were any intelligence sources or methods discussed, and no military operations were disclosed that were not already known publicly. McMaster reiterated his statement in a subsequent appearance at the White House on Monday and described the Washington Post story as false, but he did not take any questions. In their statements, White House officials emphasized that Trump had not discussed specific information, discussed specific intelligence sources or methods, rather than addressing whether he disclosed information drawn from sensitive sources. The CIA declined to comment, as did the NSA, but officials expressed concern about Trump's handling of sensitive information as well as his grasp on the potential consequences. Exposure of an intelligence stream that has provided critical insight into the Islamic State, they say, could hinder the United States and its allies to detect further future threats. It's all kind of shocking, said a former senior U.S. official who is close to current administration officials. We don't know who that is. Trump seems to be very reckless and doesn't grasp the gravity of things he's dealing with, especially when it comes to intelligence and national security. And it's all clouded because of this problem he has with Russia. In his meeting with Lavrov, Trump seemed to be boasting about his inside knowledge of the looming threat. Quote, I get great intel. I've got people who brief me on great intel every day, the president said, according to an official with knowledge of the exchange. Trump then went on to discuss aspects of the threat the United States had learned only through the espionage capabilities of the key partner. He did not reveal specific intelligence gathering methods, but he described how the Islamic State was pursuing elements of a specific plot and how much harm an attack could cause under varying circumstances. Most alarmingly, officials said, Trump revealed the city in the Islamic State territory where the U.S. intelligence partner detected the threat. This is the most important paragraph of the entire article. Let me read it again. Trump went on to discuss aspects of the threat that the United States learned only through the espionage capabilities of our key partner. He did not reveal the specific intelligence gathering method, but he described how the Islamic State was pursuing elements of a specific plot and how much harm an attack could cause under varying circumstances. Most alarming, officials say, Trump revealed the city in which the Islamic State's territory where the U.S. intelligence partner detected the threat. The Post is withholding most plot details, including the name of the city, at the urging of officials who warned that revealing them would jeopardize important intelligence capabilities. Everyone knows this stream is very sensitive, and the idea of sharing it at this level with the Russians is troubling, said a former U.S. official, a counterterrorism official who worked closely with members of the Trump national security team. He and others spoke on the condition of anonymity, citing the sensitivity of the subject. The identity of the location was seen as particularly problematic, officials said, because Russia can use that detail to help identify the U.S. ally or intelligence capability involved. Officials say the capability could be useful for other purposes, possibly providing intelligence on Russia's presence in Syria. Moscow would be keenly interested in identifying that source and perhaps disrupting it. Russia and the United States both regard the Islamic State as an enemy and shared limited information about terrorist threats. But the two nations have competing agendas in Syria, where Moscow has deployed military assets and personnel to support President Bashar Assad. Russia could identify our sources or techniques, said a U.S. official. A former intelligence official who handled high-level intelligence on Russia said, given the clues Trump provided, it's not very hard for the Russians to figure this out. Is there anything else that needs to be said in this? The officials declined to identify the ally, but said it had previously voiced frustration with Washington's inability to safeguard sensitive information related to Iraq and Syria. If that partner learns we've given this to Russia without their knowledge or asking first, this is a blow to that relationship. Trump also described measures the United States had taken or is contemplating to counter the threat, including military operations, as well as other steps to tighten security, yada, 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 yada. Okay, there's more on this, but I think it just kind of goes into opinion, except for this one part where the White House says right here, senior White House officials appeared to recognize quickly that Trump had overstepped and moved to contain the potential fallout. By name, Thomas P. Bossert, assistant to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, placed calls to the director of the CIA and the NSA, the services most directly involved with the intelligence sharing arrangement with our partner. One of Bossert's subordinates also called for the problematic portion of Trump's discussion to be stricken from internal memos and for the full transcript to be limited to a small circle of recipients, efforts to prevent sensitive details from being disseminated further or leaked. White House officials defended Trump. The story is false, said Dina Powell, Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategy. The president only discussed common threats that both countries face. But officials could not explain why staff members nevertheless felt it necessary to alert the CIA and NSA. Okay, so what are we left with here? Let's take a break, and then we're going to come back with the defense from the White House. Then I'm going to take you through this step by step and explain what has happened to us just in the last 4 days. I don't need to go back last week. Just in the last 4 days, and why this is extraordinarily troubling, and we have to take steps that neither the Republicans, the White House, the Democrats, the mainstream media are calling for. We have to take steps in our own life. And I'll explain that coming up in just a minute.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Hello, America. All right, so already the Twitter sphere is saying, oh, there goes Glenn Beck again. It's anti-Trump, bashing Trump. I want you to know, the first 15 minutes of this program, the only thing I said was a quote from the Washington Post. I read the original story. I haven't given you my opinion yet, and I think you're going to be shocked by my opinion. But this, I could give you what the media spin is, but shouldn't we all read the original source? So when our friends start to argue with us, we can say, have you read the Washington Post article? Because that's not what it says. Have you read what the original source, or are you just reading the Breitbart spin? Start with the original source, more in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mike. All right, now. We just gave you the Washington Post story. We read it verbatim, so you know what the Washington Post said. Now, here's why it's critical that you understand what the Washington Post said. Because everything is a response to that. If you don't know what the original source said, then you can't really respond to anything. For instance, somebody came in this morning and said to me, Glenn, McMaster, there's nobody more credible than McMaster. I happen to agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think McMaster is a hero, a patriot. He wrote the book on if something goes against your morals, you don't go there. You cut through the wind. So I think this guy is really credible. Now, what did McMaster say last night? Listen.
The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. At no time, were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known.
And by the way, those things weren't even alleged by the Post, right?
Yeah, let's get through this whole thing.
Two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said so. Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh those of anonymous sources.
Okay, that seems pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Now, if you haven't read the Washington Post, you're like, okay, I trust McMaster, and I do.
We've said many times, he's one of the best appointments that Trump made.
Correct. And even I think it was Bob Corker said yesterday, he's like, you know, this chaos, this you know, flurry of craziness coming out of the White House in the last week is really hurting everything. And this is one of the best national security teams we've had. And I believe with McMaster in there, it's absolutely right. McMaster is one thing we trust, the military. The one guy we trust is McMaster. So him coming out and saying this is shocking if you wanted to believe the Washington Post. Unless you didn't read the Washington Post. Because what he is saying, the Washington Post did not allege. Let's take it again from the top, as Pat pointed out. Go ahead.
The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false.
Stop. The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. That's important information. Why use the word as reported? If there's nothing in that story that is accurate, why not just say the story is false? If there's no way to get to accurate from that story, the story is absolutely false. This story, as reported, is false. Okay, next.
The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation.
Stop. That is exactly what the Washington Post says. So there's agreement on that.
At no time, were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known.
Stop. Let's take that one piece at a time.
Okay. So sources. Were any sources discussed? At no point in the Washington Post story do they allege that he revealed sources.
Doesn't say that.
So he's denying something the Washington Post did not allege.
Correct.
Okay.
At no point did he reveal sources. The Washington Post goes as far as saying that he didn't reveal sources. They're not alleging that at any place that he said, by the way, we got it from Bob. Right. That's not what they're alleging.
No.
Okay.
They also did not allege that they had disclosed any military operations that were not public. That, in fact, is not even, as far as I can tell, mentioned in
the article,
in the article at all. But the other part of it goes even further. McMaster says at no time were any intelligence sources or methods discussed. So talking about the methods for a second. In the Washington Post story, quote, he did not reveal the specific intelligence gathering method. It is not only is it not alleged, the Washington Post specifically says he didn't do
so
that thing.
So what McMaster's is doing, and you'll notice he looks down at a card. So this isn't off the top of his head. Now, I make cards too, and you want to make sure you're right. But he's looking down at a card, so he has prepared specific language.
Specifically, he 100% was not off the top of his head because he had released this exact statement in print before he said it before the microphones.
Right.
Okay. So I read it, and then I was like, oh, he's going to elaborate. He walks out and says the exact same thing word for word.
Okay. So it's important that you just know this, the first part. Now, I am not saying that McMasters is lying or covering up.
No.
I'm not saying that. In fact, you should listen to what my opinion is at the top of next hour. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he has come out now and said the story as reported is false. The president did not do these things. Well, if you don't read the original source, you don't know that the Washington Post never alleged those things. So he is giving you 2 points of what the president did not do. And nobody's accusing the president of doing that. That's not what the Washington Post was even talking about. Next.
Two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said so. Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh those of anonymous sources.
That's it. So, wait a minute. You didn't deal with what we were talking about. You didn't actually respond to the Washington Post. You said the story as reported is not correct. And then you made 2 points that the Washington Post never alleged. Now, that doesn't make you a liar. That makes you giving me information that is not helpful to discover who is lying.
Yeah, and the tone of that is somewhat different from what the president himself said. He tweeted out, as president, I wanted to share with Russia, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety, humanitarian reasons. Plus, I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. So he is seemingly admitting that he did share information with Russia.
Okay, but I think, just like the president, when you talk about, did Russia influence the election? Did they try to influence the election? All he hears is, your election was a fraud. They stole the election for you. That's not what that debate is about, Mr. President. We're, at least I'm not questioning your legitimacy in the election. You won, period. Separate topic. They influenced the election. They did not want Hillary. They'll take you. That's fine. Did it affect the election? I don't know. I know that WikiLeaks came out. I don't know if Russia was involved with Comey and his Anthony Weiner stuff, and that, if anything, affected the election. The rest of it didn't affect the election.
Let's just take a moment to appreciate that Anthony Weiner cost the Democrats the presidency.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great?
So, it is really satisfying.
Yes. So what he hears is not what people are always saying. He has a hearing problem. A listening problem. He hears lots of stuff. He's not listening. Russia and the election, he fuses as they're saying, I'm a legitimate president. No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying Russia is interfering with our elections, and we need to find that out. This, I think, could be the same thing. What he's hearing is, you gave them top secret information about the airlines and the laptops. No. No, I didn't. I can say whatever I want. Because what the allegation is in the Washington Post, one of the sources that I didn't read that just said, it's very disturbing because I don't think we give him a written briefing before every meeting on security. And he has insisted it was multi-page briefing. He doesn't read it. So he wants it boiled down, no more than 2 pages and all in bullet points. So we don't think he really understands the nuance of what is happening. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about him saying, I get the best intel. I get the best intel. And, you know, we got a, you know, we got a source in Baghdad who said that this laptop thing, they discovered it there. He doesn't understand that Baghdad was the problem word, not what he said. What he said was, I'm warning you for humanitarian reasons. Yeah. I'm warning you for you know, reasons of just being a decent person. And we need you to help in the fight against terror. Yes, Mr. Trump, that was all fine. Did you say the city of where we got this information? That's one word. And you'll notice that nobody's talking about that today. Nobody's really focusing. They just want to say, impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. Or they want to say, I'm not listening, I'm not listening, I'm not listening. Well, guys, we are never going to move forward as a country unless we solve this problem. You must listen to the other side and hear the facts. Then look at how we responded, how the president responded. Does it match the facts? In this particular case, no. However, the good news is there is a way to solve this, a very simple way to solve it. And I'll give that to you coming up at the top of the hour. And I want to hear your opinion and like to hear what you guys are thinking about this before I spout off my head.
One quick thing to think about on the McMaster statement, the careful wording of it. I have three possibilities as to why he did that. Tell me which one you think it is, or if there's an, as a fourth I'm not thinking of. He's using careful wording just to defend his guy, his president. He's on that team. He's using careful wording. To me, McMaster,
no way he's doing that.
He's known for the exact opposite. Sean Spicer, Kellyanne Conway.
Yes.
Absolutely. In fact, they don't even use careful wording. They'll just lie.
Yes.
But him, no way McMaster's doing that. He's too much of a stand-up guy. He's using careful wording because parts of the report are true, but he thinks it's not as big a deal as is being reported. It's not really
That's a possibility.
Possible, right? Mm-hmm. I think legitimately possible, like he's being careful.
Or, and this might be another one, mm-hmm. that he thinks it's worse. See, for instance.
Right, and that's my next one, which he's using careful wording because he doesn't want to lie, but he thinks it could put real lives in danger. People that are actually getting us information. People could be killed. We could lose access to this information.
The destabilization of the United States and the presidency.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, look, I think
he thinks there's real world consequences.
There's this great op-ed piece, an open letter to Mike Pence, and it's like, Mike, you know, dude, what are you doing? You became Hillary Clinton last week. You know, when Bill Clinton said, "Hey, go out there and say it's a vast right wing conspiracy," I did not do that. Your husband just set you up, Hillary. Well, that's what happened to Mike Pence last week. Why aren't you doing anything, Mike? Why aren't you saying anything? Because I think Mike Pence knows somebody has to be in the room with him. Somebody. And I will play the loyal dog as long as I possibly can, because if I'm not, who is?
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Former Fox News Titans Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck will be reuniting for a weekly spot on Beck's radio show. This is according to The Hill. We're going to do that every Friday until Beck gets tired of me, O'Reilly said. and it's a good outlet for me to discuss things back and forth with Beck, who's a good friend. We don't agree on everything, but it is lively. That is true. Bill O'Reilly will be joining us on Friday, hour number two, which we are approaching here in just a few minutes. Hour number two, where I'm also going to be giving and laying the path forward for conservatives, constitutionalists, Republicans, honestly, Democrats, anybody in the mainstream media that cares. What is really happening here? And how do we navigate these waters? What does the Washington Post article really tell us? How do we get to the bottom of this? And how do we not create more chaos? We go to that when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Glad you're here. We're going to start right with the big story of the day, the Washington Post. And did Donald Trump leak to the Russians? I'm going to break this story down now and show you how we navigate these waters to get through this story, to decide what's right and what's wrong, and where do we stand. It's going to take three chalkboards this hour. If you happen to have a subscription to theblaze.com, make sure you're watching us. Otherwise, we'll try to be as descriptive as possible so you get it as you're in your car as well on radio. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me talk about the Washington Post. And let me just say, the media and the DNC are celebrating today because they smell blood in the water and they think this is going to take Donald Trump out. And indeed, it might. Those on the GOP side and the, let me put a category out there, the always Trumpers, the ones where Donald Trump could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they would still be for him. They would still say, well, Hillary Clinton, I don't care about Hillary Clinton. Those people are also not even willing to listen to what the Washington Post actually is saying. They're going to read the stories that are combating the Washington Post story without actually reading the original source. Imagine reading all of the professors talking about how bad the Constitution is or how bad the Declaration of Independence is without actually reading either one of those. Do you think you would get the truth? You can't argue a story unless you've read the original source. So we did. Last hour, I spent the time to go over the original source, the Washington Post, and to go over the audio of the Trump White House response. Let me break this down to you. There are some questions that we have to ask ourselves first. For instance, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves, did you cheer or jeer when President Obama said the 1980s want their policy back? I, for one, I cheered. Remember, Mitt Romney said, I cheered when Mitt Romney said, I want this, the biggest geopolitical foe of ours is Russia. I cheered. And when Obama said this,
Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat. Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda. You said Russia. And the 1980s are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
So were you happy? Yes or no? I was not happy with President Obama, and nobody in this audience was happy with President Obama. The mainstream media and the Democratic Party, yes, they were. They thought that was great. They denied that Russia was a threat. We didn't. Next question. Did you say anything like Hillary shouldn't be around classified information? She's not qualified to be around classified information if she doesn't understand how to use classified information. How did you feel?
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
Okay. Intended was the word there. Okay, so listen, when people said Hillary Clinton isn't qualified to be around classified information if she handles it this way, she can't be the president of the United States. I agreed with that. I said, yes. The mainstream media said no. Did you think that it would, by the way, and we could go deeper on that, just the word intended. Did you think that it was right that the mainstream media went and our investigators went in and said, well, what's her intent? No, we said, what's the law? Not what's your intent, what's the law? Did you think it was treason or, you know, on the road? Did you say, this guy is out of control when this moment happened with President Obama?
This is my last election, basically. Yeah, and after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah. And I transmit this information to Vladimir and my senator.
Okay, remember this? The mic was on, and everybody on the right had a cow because he put his name, he put his hand on the knee of Medvedev and said, look, this is my last election. I'll have more flexibility after the election. Yes, I'll transmit to Vladimir. And we all said, Vladimir, you're saying you'll transmit this to Vladimir? Did you think that that was on the road to treason? I didn't think it was treason, but I certainly highly questioned it. I questioned it. The mainstream media and the DNC did not. Now, what does this tell you? This tells you that we have switched places. Because now we're the ones, when I say we, the right, we're the ones saying, yeah, the 1980s want their policy back. Don't you understand? The Republicans are saying the Russians are our friends. And the Democrats, the people who've never been against Russia, even when it was the Soviet Union. We're the ones saying it doesn't matter. And that's not what he intended. And yes, maybe he leaked a little classified information here to the Russians. And it's the Democrats saying he's not qualified to be president if he doesn't know how to handle sensitive information. Is it treason when Obama said, I need more time, transmit to Vladimir? The Democrats now have a problem with talking to the Russians. And Donald Trump is saying, I'm just talking to the Russians. So we've switched sides. Now, in 2011, I showed you a chalkboard that said, the left, the communists, the fascists, the anarchists, and the Islamists will work together to cause chaos and destabilize the Middle East, Europe, and the Western world. Can we all agree that a lot of that is happening right now? They're not plotting, I said back in 2011. It's not that they're all working together to plot and say, oh, okay, you do this and then I'm going to do that. But they are seeing mutually beneficial opportunities. And they each think that they're going to destroy the other one in the end. But they have a common enemy, the United States. And so what are they doing? They're causing chaos. Before I get fully into the Washington Post, let me talk a little bit about chaos. Because chaos is exactly what we're feeling right now. This is the underlying problem in America. It is chaos in everything we do because we've disrupted everything. Stu, how many genders are there?
The two.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What?
Thank you. Two.
Why the hate?
Thank you.
Why? Listen to what's happening here, America. Listen to what's happening here. Even in jokes, when I ask that question, there are people all across going, I don't know, is the number up to 92 now?
Might even be more.
It might even be more. I know it was 82, and then I thought I saw 92, but I'm not sure anymore. Two is the answer. Two genders is the answer. Now, if you want to change that, good. Then you can change that, but you have to build a case over time. Otherwise, it causes confusion, otherwise known as chaos. If I hold my gun, if I hold my finger up like a gun,
whoa,
is that dangerous? No. Well, yes.
Yeah, it's a level it's a 2 class look-alike firearm.
Right. Thank you. What is that doing? So. It's causing chaos. We can't trust the president. We can't trust the media. We can't trust our police. We can't trust our schools. What is that causing? Chaos. Everything that we're doing, even those things that we do with good intent, is causing chaos. It is causing us to question everything. Even in a game of tag, you have home. Just get home. Go to home base. Let me take you home. Do you understand your home? Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand your kids' homework? Do you understand Common Core as you're trying to help them out? How about, do you understand what they're even saying online? Do you understand what's going on in line online? Do you feel comfortable that your kids and your family is safe from the outside influences, even in your own home? Because I don't. I feel like we're keeping chaos at bay. Do you remember what I talked about when I talked about the 12th Imam? The 12th Imam will return. Now, he is, according to 12ers, and you don't have to believe this, you just have to believe that they do. The people in Iran, some of them, the ones that are in charge, believe in something called the 12th Imam. The 12th Imam is going to crawl out of a well at a time of great bloodshed when the world is washed with blood. And the way to get him to hasten the return of the Promised One is to create chaos. Let me hasten the return of the Promised One. Well, that in, if you look at their holy scriptures of what they believe, and you look at our holy scriptures and what we believe in the book of Revelation, and you invert them, if you take the 12th Imam's scriptures of the prophecy of the end times, and you read them, you're reading the inverse of book of Revelation. You're reading the manual of the bad guy. The bad guy, it's almost as if they took the book of Revelation, and you could make a case that it wasn't prophecy, that that's what they did. I don't know. But you could make the case that they just took it and just said, we're going to screw with those Christians. We're going to be the bad guys. And that is caused by chaos. So the people in the Middle East have reason for chaos. Russia, as we have told you, one of the main advisors to Putin, his symbol of his political party is the ancient symbol of chaos. So now how do we reduce chaos? On this particular story, how is it we are to behave? What will get us through this story? How can we understand this story? How can we make sense of this story? How can we move forward with this story? It's not that hard. And I'll give that to you. And how the media is also missing a greater point on what they exposed over the weekend. Give you that coming up in a second.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. So, I'm not going to give you my opinion because my opinion has to be based on facts. I can give you what ifs, but let's find this. If the world is going towards chaos, how do we minimize chaos and still find the truth? First thing we do is we ask ourselves, is McMaster credible? Because if it wasn't for McMaster coming out, I don't think I'd believe it. I think I would believe that Donald Trump said, yeah, I got lots of sources. I got the best sources. And let me tell you about this bombing thing. And not revealing anything knowingly, just foolishly because he doesn't pay attention, say the name of where that is. Now, McMaster didn't answer that question. He answered other questions. But it gives me pause because I believe McMaster. So we have to hear from McMaster. He should be subpoenaed in a confidential meeting with our senators, both Republicans and Democrats. We have to also subpoena the White House record. It's in the twice the name Thomas Bossert is mentioned. Thomas Bossert is the guy who called the NSA and the CIA. The White House says, we don't know why he called him. Well, that's easy to find out. Ask Thomas. Why did you call them? We're creating a paper trail here of either the press is lying or Donald Trump's team is lying. Now, with McMaster, I don't think that McMaster is lying. But we have to have him sworn in and tell us the truth. This is serious. And Thomas Bossert needs to be sworn in and asked serious questions, not questions for the camera, serious questions. We also have to ask ourselves, gee, is there any other source in the room that might have a reason to promote this for chaos? Yes, the Russians. The Russians were in the room. Gee, does this help them at all to create this kind of chaos? By the way, our press wasn't invited in the room. Their press was. Does this help? Yes, it does. Well, they wouldn't do that. Really? I know it's a TV show, but if you watch the documentary, The Americans. So what do we have to do? We have to follow best practices. We have to follow the way this would usually be done. We don't follow the people in the press or on Capitol Hill that have torches that say, get him. And we also don't follow the people who have torches that say, get the press. We don't follow either of those people. We follow reason, we follow logic, and we follow best practices. We should be calling for a subpoena of McMaster and Thomas Bossert and find out the truth specifically of what was said in that meeting, specifically regarding the charges of did he release the name of a city. Then you have to decide, well, did he intend to do that? Be careful, because that was the case with Hillary Clinton. She didn't intend to do that. Does it matter? Does the intent matter? If you want to be consistent, the intent should not matter. And if these things are true, and that's a big if these are true, then we, the conservatives and constitutionalists, should be saying Pence should ask for the resignation of the president, and it should be President Pence, if this is true.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I have to tell you, it's been an incredible week for many things. Let me give you some good news. And then we're going to get into recapping what I just said in the boys' opinion, because I think they disagree with me. But volunteers have been standing in shifts for 24/7 for more than 230 hours since May 6th, over 10 days now. They've been downtown in Dallas. Their purpose is to raise $1 million to fund 200 scholarships for the families of fallen and disabled servicemen and women. As of an hour ago, 35 minutes ago, they had raised $875,000, enough to fund 175 scholarships. I will tell you that the organizers of this have said, guys, you've been going for 10 days. Stop. And they're like, no, we have 25 scholarships left to fund. They're there 24 hours a day. There's currently a veteran that is standing in the literal footprints of a fallen veteran. He's been there all night long. Now, we're asking you to help support and take care of these families that have lost their lives for us. A Dallas area company, Kia Tax, K-E-A Tax, has stepped in now to match all donation until the Stand to Honor is complete. Now, Chance Frank is the veteran who will not sit down. He is the last, literally the last man standing, and he's like, I am not going anywhere. And so Kia Tax has now said, I'll match dollar for dollar. We need to make, what is it, another $125,000, and they'll match dollar for dollar. We can do this. He has been standing now as a volunteer for more than 80 hours over the last 10 days. And he committed to one final shift starting at 6:30 this morning. And he said, I'm not leaving until we reach the final goal. You can make this happen. And he is so committed because he's the 23rd person in his family to serve in the United States military.
Wow.
And he knows the effects of fallen officers and families.
How do you donate?
You donate now by going to mercuryone.org/stand, mercuryone.org/stand, or standtohonor.org. Go there right now and donate. We can get this done by the end of the show, and Chance can go home. It would be nice. Okay. I think I laid out a reasonable case that said, I don't believe anything right now because the facts are not all in. But the Washington Post left breadcrumbs on how to find out the facts with, what's his name, Bassert, Thomas Bassert.
Yeah.
And also the general.
McMaster.
So we have McMaster that needs to be questioned and Bassert that needs to be questioned. And the one question that has to be asked is, did the president, even inadvertently, say, yeah, we got this information and we found out in Name the City?
And more than that, if he did, does it matter? You know, this is kind of like the Bill Clinton thing, because everybody's saying, no, he didn't do that. Now they're saying that. But if it comes out that he did do it, are you just going to switch your response to, well, it doesn't matter?
Okay, so here's why it does matter. Already one ally has come out and said, if they find out that this is true, they will no longer share any information with the United States.
Right.
These allies are putting their necks on the line for us. And so they said, if we find out that this is true, we will no longer risk. It also is important for our own consistency and credibility as people. If you said that Hillary Clinton was not qualified to be around classified information because she knew better and she was reckless with it, you have to stand that this president is reckless with our confidential classified information. And I think because he doesn't think about it. He doesn't care.
Isn't that
it's not a bad, it's not a, he doesn't, I don't think he has a nefarious bone in his body on this. He's not trying to get our allies killed or anything like that. He just doesn't care.
I mean, but didn't you price this into your vote? I mean, this is the type of stuff that worries you about someone who's never experience in this particular area.
No, but this is beyond experience. This is not him just not having experience. This is him being an egomaniac and just thinking whatever he does is okay.
If he did it,
it is important for us, the constitutionalists, to regain our credibility. A lot of people I know said, you know what, I just can't have Hillary. And you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe he won't last. And you get President Trump. We get President Pence. Okay. All right. President Pence, you want another 4 years of this? Okay, now if he didn't do this, then there's no reason to stand up and have torches. But if he did do this, he's not qualified. He cannot be trusted with classified information. And this is not the first time that he's been questioned on classified information.
I think there's a realistic possibility. Because after Washington Post reported this initially, both CNN and the New York Times have kind of come and confirmed their reporting with some slight differences. One of the interesting differences to me is the CNN difference, which they kind of have said, look, this isn't uniform within the intelligence community. Not everybody in the intelligence community thinks this was a gigantic violation. Some think it wasn't that big of a deal. And what strikes me about that particular spin on it is the idea that Trump looks at these things, particularly with Russia, in a much different way than the vast majority of the intelligence community. If Trump blurts out a secret he's not supposed to say to Great Britain, while he still shouldn't do it, it's not a gigantic story like this. The difference is, I think, or at least potentially.
At least the way I feel.
Right. The difference is, I think, here is that Trump views Russia as essentially our ally.
And they're not.
And the intelligence community does not. So what's happening is Trump is much more giving to the Russians because he doesn't. This is not a nefarious thing, let's just say. He's saying, I think these guys are good guys and they're going to help us with ISIS.
Where do you guys stand? By the way, in about 21 minutes, I'm going to give you something else, another chalkboard that you really need to pay attention to that plays into this. Something else that the media will not give you that you need to understand. You want to make sense of the world. I'm bringing the, after so much email, help me. Where's the chalkboard? Okay, we're bringing the chalkboard back. And you can subscribe to The Blaze and you can watch us. And I'm trying to explain them as best I can, you know, on radio. And I will continue to do that. But there's something that you really need to understand about a story we talked about yesterday that fits right into this. That if you only listen to the mainstream media, you're not going to understand this. And it is putting us on war footing. And I think we should talk about that as well today on war footing and the dangers that this could lead us to. Just this kind of chaos internally can lead us to war, global war. Really dangerous. I'd like to spend a couple of minutes and just ask you guys, I'm going to take a break and then come back. Do you agree with me that if he did this, it does matter, even if it's innocently, and that if anyone should be leading the march, it should not be the media. They have no credibility on Russia. They have no credibility on leaks. They have no credibility on a mishandling of classified documents. They have no credibility on that.
They've ignored it all in the past.
Right. So they don't. They have no credibility. Mm-hmm. The people who should be leading it are the people who actually believed it before. And I will say, I'm not sure who believed it. I did. Under Hillary Clinton, I believed every word of what I said. And that leads me to be the guy who says, I believe it now to be a danger. And I want to know, if he did it, Do you agree that it's people like us, it's the constitutionalists, that should be saying we follow the process of law and there shouldn't be an impeachment because that'll tear the country apart? Pence should go in and say to the president, Mr. President, I'm sorry, but a group of us have all met and you need to resign for the good of the country. Now, it's not going to happen.
And also, but it's we should way be, premature right now.
I'm not saying now.
Only if only all of this were to pan out.
Only if we have...
And he gave up information like the city.
The city. If he gave up the information that put our allies... Remember, what we said about Hillary Clinton was, one of the reasons why we had a real problem is she could get our allies and our sources killed. It's like releasing the knock list. That's what this story is about. By saying the city, you've given the Russians a portion of our knock list that they didn't know. And because they stand on different sides of the aisle, we both are against ISIS, but we're not both against Bashar Assad. We're not both feeling the same way about Turkey and about the Kurds and about Israel and about Iran. They have very different goals in the Middle East. You don't want them to have a portion of our knock list. And that's what happened. I'd like to hear your opinion on that when we come back. The number is 888-727-BECK, but I want to start with Pat and Stu and see what they think.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. We're getting way ahead.
Way
ahead of this story.
Whoa. Slow down.
And I just want to say, everything must be prefaced with, if I am calling for a subpoena of McMaster, of the White House logs, and of Bassert.
Right.
So why did he call the NSA and CIA? Get that all on the record. You can't make any decision until that.
Right.
If this is a big if it would show that the White House is lying.
And they give inappropriate information to the Russians.
Then
what?
Not a subpoena. I mean, sorry, not an impeachment. We can't go through an impeachment. Trump should be called upon by his own supporters and by people who believe in the Constitution to resign. Remember, the election was a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. This is a decision between Donald Trump and Mike Pence.
Right, but let's take the elevator down one floor, my friend. Because... as you said, we're getting a little ahead of the game.
Yes.
We've gone to a floor that's above the mezzanine, and we don't need to be there yet because we haven't compiled all the information. So, it's way too early to start calling on him to resign.
I'm not.
I just want to, I want that to be clear.
Today is...
But would you agree with me on the if?
Yeah, if he released inappropriate classified information, which I guess he can do, right? But if it endangered allies and operatives and whatever, that's bad.
If the worst possibility out of all of the possibilities is the one that's actually true, then
the Washington Post story is true, is he qualified to be president of the United States? Should he be president?
You'd have to know exactly what happened, I think. Yeah. But, I think...
We need to take that elevator down one more floor and gather...
Well, then maybe we should do that. Because I think everybody should be on record today. Yeah. If it is true...
If it is true, it's a real problem.
Does it matter? Yeah, and should he be gone?
It does. And you should. Okay. If it's true.
Okay. If it's true. More in just a second.
The Glenn Beck Program. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to the program. All right, so here's where we've been on the Donald Trump Washington Post story. I happen to believe McMaster. I believe he has a lot of credibility. However,
yeah.
I think there's some questions that McMaster needs to be asked because he really didn't refute what was in the Washington Post story. He refuted things that the Washington Post specifically pointed out that they weren't charging. So it was a very weird statement last night. But there's an easy way to take care of this and find out that the president did or did not give the Russians intel. Subpoenas of Bassert and McMaster should be issued today. We should subpoena the White House official record because that would have it in there. And we should ask Bassert, why did you call the NSA and the CIA? Not the press. Congress should subpoena these guys right now. And if those things would show that the president released the city name or any of this specific inappropriate information that would put our intelligence sources in danger, then we need to be consistent and say the same things that we said about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton had proven herself to be reckless with top secret intelligence. And when the DNC and the press said, well, her intent wasn't malicious, we all said intent didn't matter. What she did could get our sources on the ground killed. And if, a very big if this were true in the Washington Post story, then we should say exactly the same thing about President Trump. However, the time to light torches against the mainstream media or the White House or Donald Trump or the GOP or anyone else is not now. What has to happen now is follow the facts. A charge has been made. Let's prove or disprove it. Subpoenas should be issued. Questions need to be answered. And we, the people, need to be consistent with our principles. Remember, the election was a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. If this story is true, then it becomes a choice between Donald Trump and Mike Pence. But let's follow the process. Let's stand for truth. Let's stand for principles. And let's remember one of our principles is innocent before proven guilty. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
All right, I want to show you why this Washington Post thing really needs to be answered on a greater level. Right now, nobody in the media is even looking for the bigger picture and the real picture. And if you happen to be a subscriber of the Blaze TV, please. Log on so you can watch, because I have it's easier to understand with a chalkboard, but if you're just listening on radio, I'm going to try to make this really, really clear. What we had on the story for the hackers over the weekend was that we heard that there were 150 countries involved, and we heard about the devastation and that they were these unknown hackers. And if you were lucky, you got a story that these hackers got the malware from the NSA. And so the NSA, somehow or another, these hackers got the malware and they attacked 150 countries, and they were holding some people hostage. And somebody says that, they might have made $1 billion just over the last weekend. And then everybody started saying this stuff is going to happen more, and you have to protect yourself. And that was the end of the story.
I will say they did update that billion, because the initial report was they might have made $1 billion. Now they're saying 62,000.
That's a minor change
in that one.
It's just a slight
downward bump.
Yeah. But still, that was, the goal is not money there. It's chaos, right? And it certainly worked for that purpose.
So I want to go to what Stu just said. If you remember back in 2011, I said that the left, the communists, the fascists, the Islamists, and the anarchists would all work together to cause chaos. and destabilize the Middle East, Europe, and the rest of the world. Everything is about chaos right now. Everything in our life is about chaos. Trying to figure out your kids' homework right now is chaos. Trying to figure out your way, just make it every day to the end of the day is practically chaos. Trying to start your own business now is chaos because you're not sure of the rules. Trying to understand politics is chaos because everybody keeps switching positions. Everything is about chaos. The banking system, chaos. Let me take you back to this story and show you how this story ties into what the Washington Post said Donald Trump is doing. And the big problem with if Donald Trump indeed did leak classified information and give it to the Russians. Now, it's important for you to understand, he can declassify anything he wants. He's the president. So this is not criminal, unlike what Hillary Clinton did. This is not criminal. However, we already have one ally saying that if the president did give this information to Russia, they're no longer going to share any information with us because they can't trust us. This information was so secret. There is a group called the Five Eyes. And the Five Eyes sounds like a Star Chamber thing, doesn't it? The Five Eyes are New Zealand, Australia, England, the United States, and one more. What's the other one? Is not
Zimbabwe.
Europe. I can't remember.
Zimbabwe is the
thing. Mordor. No,
what?
I don't know.
Did Mordor? You say Germany?
So anyway, Five Eyes. There's five countries. And they basically, we are the ones that are, you know, spying on the rest of the world together. We didn't even share this information with Five Eyes. And this is the information that told everybody to not take a laptop on airplanes. And we have an ally who remains nameless that is probably in Iraq or Syria or somewhere in the Middle East that has infiltrated ISIS. And what the president said was not the part about the planes. What the president may have said was, yeah, and so we were in Baghdad and we got this information from some sources in Baghdad, not even thinking. Well, that is the critical piece of information because that will let Russia know that we have operatives, and it's most likely in Syria or Turkey, that we have operatives there in that city. Well, we don't have the same goals in that particular city, perhaps. And that could get our operatives killed. That's what we're talking about.
And it's, by the way, it's Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the UK, and the US.
Thank you. So those are the Five Eyes. We haven't even told all Five Eyes what this information is. And the people who gave it to us said, please don't tell anybody. Okay, so we possibly did. The president just doesn't think Russia is a problem. And the president also doesn't necessarily think that, you know, he doesn't understand how to handle classified information, which I said under Hillary Clinton, you know, that makes you not qualified to be the president of the United States. But please don't listen to the mainstream media as they're telling you, oh boy, Russia is so dangerous. Really? When did you start thinking that? Let me take you back from the hacker story this weekend. Let me take you back to the beginning. A while back, there was a leak in the NSA, and we don't know who this leak was. We thought we knew. We fed information. It was passed on. We trapped this person. We pulled them out of the NSA, and they're in prison now, okay, because they were leaking classified information out of the NSA. Well, we thought the leak would stop, but it hasn't. In fact, we think now there's at least one other person, there may be several people inside the NSA that should not be inside the NSA that are leaking information. This person, after we arrested this other person and put them in jail, a new leak came out, and this leak was malware. This leak was something that we created on your taxpayer dollar. We hired these tech people to come up with some sort of malware that could be pushed out into the system, and it would be used to shut down all the computers in Iran, North Korea, Russia, whoever our whoever our enemies were at the time, if we needed to shut everything down, we'd push this malware out. Now, so you know, this is a modern day atomic bomb. This is top secret stuff. This is stuff that you put on the shelf and you hope to never use. But this is a weapon of mass destruction because you can target banks, you can target security, you could target energy, you could target whatever you want. Not just computers, but all computers or a specific industry. This is truly releasing an atomic bomb or the plans to atomic bombs. Okay? Somebody released it. We don't know who. They're still in the NSA. They released it and they gave it actually to shadow brokers. Now, shadow brokers, we know very little about. But shadow brokers, we suspect that they are part of Russian intelligence, and not officially. They're more like help funded. Maybe they get some additional things, kind of like WikiLeaks. We don't think they're an official arm of the Russian government, but they're connected somehow. So shadow brokers, the leak gives the malware to shadow brokers, an arm of the Russians, we suspect. They dump it out and say, here, we have this malware from the NSA. We're going to offer it for $7 million. Do you remember when that happened? When did that happen? A year ago? And we couldn't believe the conversation was, is this really NSA malware? And they had released a couple of pages of the code, and people at the NSA said, yes, we think that is. Well, they couldn't get a buyer for it, and so it just stopped. There was no sale, so shadow brokers just kept it. Then something happened. Syria and Steve Bannon was removed from the NSC. Now, this is important. What do those two things have in common? When we attacked Syria, that was a move against the Russians. When Steve Bannon was taken off the the National Security Council, that is also a move away from typical Russian philosophy. We've told you that he is part of the alt-right philosophy, which its roots are in Russia. So these two things happen. That proves, to me at least, this proves that what we were saying about Steve Bannon is absolutely true. That he believes in chaos, as he said. He wants to burn the system down to the ground, as he has said. And he is part of the alt-right, as he has said. His website is a vehicle for it. He's never said he's believed in the Russian alt-right. But when these two events happened, somebody back here at Shadow Brokers, which, remember, tied somehow or another to the Russians, that pissed them off. And so instead of selling it, they just gave it to hackers. We don't know who the hackers are. But that's what happened this weekend. They gave it to the hackers, and the hackers just used it, and they tried to make money on it for 150 countries. Now, here's some additional information that just broke this morning. It looks as though those hackers that shadow brokers got pissed off about Syria and Bannon and just dumped it out there, those hackers seem to be using the same servers as the people who were the Sony hackers and the hackers in the Hollywood things. Well, those hackers were North Korean. Did shadow brokers give NSA software to the hackers in North Korea? Is that an act of war? Here's the result. People will say Russia couldn't be involved because Russia had 1,000 computers affected in Russia. Oh, okay. Well, that's true. They did have 1,000 computers. However, what has the world been talking about recently? The world has been talking about Russian hacking, Russian hacking, Russian hacking. That's all anybody's been talking about, Russian hacking. Russians, they hacked the French elections. Well, what are we talking about with this story? We're talking about how the NSA has malware to shut down every computer in the world if they want. And what did Russia say about the hacking? They didn't blame the hackers. Yesterday, Russia came out and blamed the United States and the NSA for making that. This goes to another prediction, and it's early on in this road, but you're going to start to see it happen more and more. The world and the world's leaders, as chaos begins to grow and things begin to get worse, they will all turn and point the finger to the United States and say, it's them. And the world will accept it. We're headed that way. So the NSA and the U.S. has been blamed, and we weren't talking about Russian hacking for a second. In the rest of the world, they're all still talking about how the U.S. and the NSA made this malware. In the end, what is the result of all this? Chaos. Where do you go? Well, the solution to all of this is, if we had a press and we had a government that was doing its job, it would not stand here and look at the 150 countries or even the hackers. We're starting at the end of the hackers and we're saying it looks like it's North Korea. Guys, we're going to lose this war, whatever war we're headed towards. We're going to lose this war if we don't start at the beginning. Who is in the NSA that is leaking this information that would like to see the United States destroyed or taken down a notch or two? Who is in the NSA? Who leaked that? Who are the shadow brokers? Is Russia involved with the shadow brokers? Remember, North Korea used to be one of the big protectorates for the for Russia. The former Soviet Union loved Kim Jong-un and his father. We have to start at the beginning of all of these stories, or we're going to lose the war that is already being fought. We just don't know it yet.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, in just a few minutes, there is a White House National Security Advisor, McMaster. He is going to be speaking in just a few minutes. We will carry as much of that as we possibly can. Stations, just so you know, we'll carry that. Also, trying to get a hold of Eric Erickson, who says, I know one of the sources. Now, I don't know whether he says it's, I know him and it's all a lie or it's all a truth. I have no idea. He just knows one of the sources in the Washington Post story. And we'll try to get a hold of him. But also, we really want to hear from McMaster, who I think has a ton of credibility. What is he going to say today as he faces the press? Do that coming up in just a few minutes. Stand by.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're awaiting McMaster and his briefing here in a second, but I have to give you a story that just broke from Eric Erickson. I want you to listen to this carefully. I tend to take these stories about the president with a grain of salt. We have seen key details of a number of salacious stories retracted within 48 hours. The media hates the president so much that they'll run a negative story about him without very much provocation. Anti-Trump sources embedded within the administration, in their career, civil service, etc., will leak to the press, and confirmation bias sets in. What sets this story apart for me, at least, is I know one of the sources, and the source is solidly supportive of President Trump, or at least has been and was during the campaign 2016. But the president will not take any internal criticism, no matter how politely it is given. He does not want advice, cannot be corrected, and is too insecure to see any constructive feedback as anything other than an attack. So some of the stories are left with no, some of the sources are left with no other option but to go to the media, leak the story, and hope that the intense blowback gives the president a swift kick in the butt. Perhaps then he will recognize he screwed up. The president cares vastly more about what the press says than what his advisors say. That is the real problem. And one of his advisors is having to recognize and use this, even if it causes messy stories to get outside of the White House perimeter. I am told today that what the president did is actually far worse than reported. The president doesn't seem to realize or appreciate that his bragging can undermine relationships with our allies and with human intelligence sources. He also doesn't seem to appreciate that his loose lips can get valuable assets in the field killed. You can call these sources disloyal, traitors, or whatever you want, but please ask yourself a question. If the president, through inexperience and ignorance, is jeopardizing our national security and will not take the advice of corrective action, then what other means are available to get the president to listen and recognize the errors of his ways? This is a real problem, and I treat this story very seriously because I know just how credible, competent, and serious, as well as seriously pro-Trump, at least one of the sources is. Eric Erickson.
Yeah, he might be joining us here in a few minutes to explain it a little further. Maybe we can break on the early side here and come back because the McMaster thing is about to go on, too.
Yeah, so let's break, and then we'll try to get some of the McMaster, and then we'll get, hopefully, Eric Erickson on with us as well.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go right to Eric Erickson, a friend of the program, a friend of the Constitution, and a guy who's just written a pretty intense and explosive article about, I know, one of the sources on the Washington Post story. And by the way, stations, we're still waiting for McMaster to come out and to begin his press conference. We'll join that if it begins. Eric.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I've been better. I'm trying to make sense of this. And I believe McMaster, however, he has been very, very careful with his words, and he was denying things that the Washington Post never even claimed last night. So it was an odd response, I thought, last night. But I believe him. I'm waiting for him to come out. And now I get this story from you that says this is very credible and it's worse than what is reported.
Yes. So I am friends with someone who worked for the president, was enough of a pro-Trump supporter last year that he and I moderated our interactions because we so vehemently disagreed with each other in the election. And he is concerned enough at this point, as are others within the national security apparatus, that they are under the impression they have to leak these things to the media for the president to pay attention to them, because he is extremely defensive when anyone approaches him in person and tries to explain to him why he should not do the things he's done. Now, someone this morning interacted with me and said, well, maybe the president's reaction was he was upset because they should have told him ahead of time. And that was my reaction as well. But according to the source, he said that's not the president's reaction. The president's reaction is, I'm the president, I can do whatever I want, and that it's not helpful. This is worse in the sense that the president's conversations, I'm led to believe, with the Russians provided them enough information through his bragging that they could identify the location of the source, how the source obtained the information regarding explosives and laptops, and could therefore identify specifically who the source was.
So how do you, if, let's say McMaster comes out and says all of that stuff is not true. McMaster is a guy who has written the book on honor and integrity. How do you square that?
I don't know that you can. There is clearly something going on inside the White House leading to this disparity. The information that last night from McMaster I thought was most interesting in that he denied a lot of the rumors and speculation surrounding the Washington Post report, but did not actually deny what the Post, the New York Times now, and other outlets have actually reported. So I'm going to be very interested to see how he parses
so
his words in this press conference.
If he says, you know, if he verifies, I can't imagine he's going to, but if he would verify what you just said, or based on what you know, I mean, I don't know who your source is that was in the room. They were in the room.
No, was not in the room. There were very few people in the room. Was out of the room and in the post-meeting briefings about what took place in the room.
Okay. So if McMaster was in the room, if he says, let's just say that he verifies what your source says, should President Trump step down or be impeached?
I don't think it's impeachable, and that's the problem. Gross incompetence is not one of the areas for impeachment in the Constitution, and I think we have to take that literally. If the president wants to release information to the Russians, he legally has the right to do it. The problem is that it undermines our relationships with our allies and our ability to collect intelligence from other sources and could potentially put the life of a source in jeopardy. But it's perfectly legal for him to do it. That's the problem here. And that, I suspect, would be General McMaster's answer here, is that everything the president did was legal, and he's absolutely right.
I mean, Eric, you have to think, if he's getting this venue and making this statement, there is no way he's going to say anything other than completely back the president.
Correct.
Now, I believe McMaster's a really honorable guy, but I mean, he would not have this venue to come out and theoretically clarify all the things that he kind of left hanging in his previous statement if he wasn't going to say something supportive of the president. Am I wrong on that?
That would be my reaction as well, which is why I'm very interested to hear what he has to say.
So, Eric, you didn't really answer the question. You did answer, here comes McMaster. Real quick, you didn't answer the question, should he be asked to resign?
If everything about this story that I'm being told is true, yeah, I think the president needs to consider the good of the country and not necessarily the good of him liking the phone system in the White House.
Okay, Eric, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Eric Erickson from TheResurgent.com. Let's go to McMaster. He's holding a briefing now. He just stepped to the podium. Here he is.
Prior to his arrival, as I promised, General McMaster is going to give an update on the president's trip that starts this Friday. And I know there are some additional questions regarding some news of the day. So without further ado, General McMaster.
A little bit of an understatement there.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, last week we discussed the president's upcoming trip. I promised I'd come back and go through the schedule in more detail. I'm happy to do that today. And Sean tells me there's another topic you might want to talk about as well. So I'm happy to answer any questions about that after we go through the schedule.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
But first of all, just Secretary Tillerson will accompany the president for most of the trip, breaking off just before the G7 meeting.
It's as if they're not doing
it for our
show.
The trip will begin in Saudi Arabia. It's a historic trip. After an arrival ceremony in Riyadh, the president will have coffee with King Salman, attend a royal banquet, and hold bilateral meetings with the king, the Crown Prince,
what kind of coffee,
and the Deputy Crown Prince.
Will he take sugar?
He will also participate
cream
in a signing ceremony.
It's going to be a very interesting
U.S.-Saudi
overseas trip, won't it?
And economic cooperation.
Is he going to send a shout-out to
that
Medicine
evening,
Joe?
The President and the First Lady will join members of the Saudi royal
it's kind
family
of an old
for
reference
official dinner.
It sure is.
The next
but
day,
it's a classic.
The President will hold bilateral meetings with Gulf Cooperation Council leaders, as well as broader meetings with all the Gulf state leaders. In the afternoon, he will meet and have lunch with leaders of more than 50 Muslim countries, where he will deliver an inspiring yet direct speech on the need to confront radical ideology and his hopes, the president's hopes, for a peaceful vision.
So where do you guys
Islam
stand while he's doing this?
Will he make a bathroom stop at any point during the day?
Where do you guys stand on what Eric Erickson said?
Unite the broader Muslim world.
Pretty amazing.
I mean, we knew it wasn't impeachable, right?
Well, it's not impeachable. It's not impeachable.
We did know.
He'll try to make it impeachable, but it's not impeachable.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing. One theory that was floated around as our pre-show discussions was that the memos and discussions about what happened in the meeting set off alarm bells with people who were not in the room, and they thought it was worse than it actually was. So McMaster is saying, it's not really that bad, but it may have said something in the memo that was summarized in a way that made it look worse than it was.
Can we bring him down a little bit while he's just babbling nonsense?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
So the thought being...
Sarah, please monitor so we know when he gets to questions or starts talking about that.
The thought being that maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. And that's why one of the things we talked about with McMaster before, why was he being careful in his wording? Well, he knows some of the story is true. The general concepts are true. And some of it has been essentially confirmed by Donald Trump via Twitter this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, it wasn't really what they were saying. It wasn't as big of a deal. And that's why he was being careful. I think it's possible that a memo gets written about this conversation and gets interpreted in a way that is more makes it look more serious than it was and sets off a lot of alarm bells. But how does that get all the way?
How does it get a memo interpreted? Because it's very specific. He mentioned the city. Why, if he didn't mention the city, would that be in the memo? That's what this is all about. I mean, you wouldn't, if you're a stenographer, you just don't. Oh, by the way, do we mention the city?
Well, I don't know that it was a stenographer, but well, I mean, someone summarizing.
Yeah, who was it that was summarizing? I mean,
but maybe they said area. Maybe they said, you know, who knows exactly what happened? I'm just saying there could if you're not in the room, theoretically there could be an error. You know, something could be lost in translation. However, again, these sources do seem to be pretty close to the president.
This is why. I mean, I don't even want it public. It doesn't even have to be public. I mean, it should be now, but it's why I don't want, you know, a big, long, three-day inquisition that everybody's making a speech and not asking a question. I just like, under oath, some questions asked. I mean, I'll tell you, I want a special prosecutor because I want somebody independent of all of this. I won't want them connected with Congress. I don't want them connected. I just want somebody who is trustworthy, independent, to go in and just answer these damn questions. That's what I want. Is that too much to ask? Well, is that too much anti-Trump? If you're not guilty, just an independent investigator, something that has nothing to do with politics, just answer the damn questions.
And that's always going to be tough around this. Look, one of the reasons for some optimism around the Trump administration were people like McMaster for situations like this.
Yes.
So, I mean, if he's going to stand there and say that everything is fine, we don't have to. It's trust but verify. I actually do trust.
I trust him,
but I'd
like to verify.
Yeah,
I'd like
absolutely
more sources on that. I'd like to know. I'd like to see the notes, the unedited notes, or at least have somebody see the unedited notes. I'd like somebody to talk to Bassert. Why did you call the CIA? Why did you call the NSA under oath? And I'd like somebody that, you know, hang on, can you turn this up? I think we're about...
Leaders' dinner hosted by the president of Italy.
Yep, he's about to ask
for home, the president
take his first question.
American and allied servicemen and women and their families. He will thank them for their sacrifices they all make to keep us safe.
Be inspired.
And also recap the highlights and accomplishments of the trip.
And then he will have more coffee.
So I'll ask Sean to call on any of you who have questions.
He may fly later on. Without a plane.
You came out to the stakeout area yesterday, and coming out to the stakeout area, you said that the Washington Post story, which came out late yesterday afternoon, was false. Do you stick by that assertion? Do you think that every element of that story is false? And do you have anything to correct in terms of what you said at the podium yesterday afternoon?
No, I stand by my statement that I made yesterday. And what I'm saying is really the premise of that article is false, that in any way the president had a conversation that was inappropriate or that resulted in any kind of lapse in national security. And so I think the real issue, and I think what I'd like to see really debated more, is that our national security has been put at risk by those violating confidentiality and those releasing information to the press that could be used, connected with other information available to make American citizens and others more vulnerable.
But it's bad to leak the information. Wow, there's more questions on this. Unfortunately, we have to break stations. Thank you. We'll be back in just a minute with Morsi at 5 on theblaze.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.